Log Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terracam Radio Network.
In your face.
Warrior Online. 24-7. 24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of the OCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The following information presented is the opinion of the host or speaker and not necessarily the opinion of VOCR or its affiliates. All opinions and ideology remain the property of the host or the guest or the speaker. This is the TerraChat Radio Network. TPAD MTOR. Tonight's purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. It is Thursday, July the 12th, 2012. It is 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 2100 hours. And it is 2300 hours in the East Coast. 25 degrees Celsius in the city of Calgary this evening. That's about 75 degrees Fahrenheit to our American friends. It is day 7 of the greatest outdoor show on earth, the Calgary Stampede. Got a couple of more days to go to Sunday, and it will be closing out on Sunday. Another successful Calgary Stampede, the 100th edition of the Calgary Stampede, 100 years ago. Calgary had their first Stampede. Pretty impressive. Big shout-outs to the big BC Dreamcatcher. It's getting pretty warm out there, kiddo, huh? You better watch out for those storms. Make sure you don't get pulled up and have to click your heels to get back to Kansas or anything silly like that. And to the Southeast Brickies, much better half. Getting to be quite the regular, huh? I like that. And to the Scottish Lash, who needs 5 more hours in the day before she can truly enjoy the openness of the Masters Highlands. Welcome, everyone. Before we get to the main thrust of tonight's edition, let's get past some emails, shall we? Janice from Los Angeles wrote, found your show on the Blog Talk Radio site, British Canadian reporting on U.S. politics. Not much happening in your neck of the woods? Question mark. Well, on the contrary, Janice, as you will hear tonight, one of my favorite subjects has made the news front and center, the United Nations and the New World Order. And if we have time, we shall discuss Canada's take on UN action. And as for being a British Canadian, well, Peter Jennings was Canadian. You watched him nightly for years as he presented the news. So what's the difference? Well, Canada has a very deep interest in what happens in the U.S. election. 4 more years of Obama will see Canada doing oil business with China. We would prefer to work with the U.S. administration that understands the need for a secured supply line of oil, something the Obama administration can't seem to get their head around, that a 50,000 to 75,000 instant job possibility with the Keystone Pipeline is not in the best interest of the United States of America. Steve from Florida emailed, I like your take on politics. Thanks, Steve. Anyone who has been around the political scene for any length of time knows the election will come down to either Florida or Iowa. Well, you could be right, Steve. Florida could be the big decider again. But Steve goes on to say, another Supreme Court case to decide pregnant chads and spoiled ballots. Unless, of course, Romney landslides into the presidency, which is a distinct possibility with information coming out on July 17th from Sheriff Joe. So what's your take on the legitimacy of Barack Obama? Well, Steve, as the political race heats up and the candidates nudge for press, it's hard to say how it will go. Anything could happen, which would shift Obama's popularity deeper into the negative, or saw him back to the positive territory of hope and change. How Obama handles Iran and Syria will probably show his true mettle. The recent announcement of the payment to the Muslim Brotherhood of $1.2 billion, the pledge to the Muslim Brotherhood by the Obama administration, does not sit well with those millions in the U.S. and Canada who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Middle-class families now clinging on to what was a fairly decent life. Bankrupt and emotionally spent, dramatic increases in suicide and infanticide. Well, do I think Obama is legitimate? Based upon the preponderance of evidence which has been presented in the public forum, I would tend to say that some devious actions were performed by person or persons unknown who may or may not be associated with the intelligence agencies or the Illuminati-style organizations that allowed Barack Hussein Obama to become president. Now, I believe that these people will be watching how he performed through his first term. And the question is, will those people, or those persons unknown, the ones pulling Obama's strings, will they continue to support Obama? Or will they allow the caper to collapse in the constitutional crisis and impeachment of an illegal president? Now, the July 17th press conference that's scheduled to be held in Arizona literally is guaranteed to pile evidence after evidence, and that a massive amount of evidence is going to be presented exposing the fraud of the Obama nation presidency. And I got to say, it isn't looking good for Obama, and his only recourse is starting to look more like a wag the dog. And that scares me. Irregular heartbeat, isn't it? Isn't that like an irregular heartbeat? Kind of got a little freaky on me there. Interesting.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. The voice continues after this.
My father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
The Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran teaches that, the Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says, we will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Got something to say? Need a place to vent your opinion? VOCR Blog offers you that opportunity. Send your opinion piece to VOCR2012@gmail.com and watch it post. Say your opinion. Become engaged. The purveyor of political pontification, Guru Notion.
The purveyor of political pontification? Is that what it's come down to? The purveyor of political pontification. Oh, well, so be it. So be it. Hey, make sure throughout your chats and moves around the internet that you spread the good word that the VOCR is back on the air. We would appreciate it. The live callers are obviously very light because we are just getting back into a regular schedule. And the download callers is incredible, as usual, and we do appreciate that. But for those people that are downloading or listening to the show after the fact, we do invite you to either go to terrorchatnet.com or vocrradio.com and get the scheduling for the live shows. Now, we are going to be all over the clock for the next 60 days or so. So some of the shows are going to be at some very funky and strange times for various time zones, which we have got commitments to. And I think you'll enjoy it, but it's going to get a little hectic. So hang in there with us, and, you know, you'll grow as we grow. And if you have something to say, of course, vocr2012@gmail.com. Don't be afraid to drop me an email, drop me a line. Let me know what you think. If you got an opinion, like to hear that too. And if you want to bring that opinion on the air, then drop me an email. Let's talk about it, see what we can arrange. Or call live, 347-324-3287. Now, over the last month and a half, we've received an incredible amount of email talking about the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs. And I thought it kind of interesting to kind of have a look back and see exactly who they are. Now, Mr. Al Kay, who was with us a couple of years ago, explained the Illuminati perfectly. And rather than rehash and replay the old show in here tonight, I invite you to go to the Blog Talk Radio archives and pull it down from there, or go to vocrradio.com and pull it down from their archives. Mr. Al Kay is the gentleman's name, and it was a brilliant show. But the term New World Order, or NWO, refers to the emergence of a totalitarian one-world government. The common theme in conspiracy theories about a New World Order is that a secretive power elite with a globalist agenda is conspiring, well, to eventually rule the world. And they're going to use their authoritarian world government, which replaces sovereign nations and states and an all-encompassing propaganda that ideologies its establishment as a culmination of history and progress. But I'll tell you what it does in reality do. It puts all of those programs that have been taken away and hidden for the last 20 years into one big power grab. That's what it does. Another big power grab by the world governments, those people that have already made their money and are going to teach you how to help them make more. Now, significant occurrences in politics and finance have been speculated to be orchestrated by an unduly influential cabal operating through many front type of organizations. Numerous historical and current events are seen as steps in an ongoing plot to achieve world domination through secret political gatherings and decision-making processes. Now, we do know that the members of the Bilderberg Cabal include European royalty, EU parliamentarians, CEOs of banking institutions and organizations, international corporation CEOs, mainstream media are there, the U.S. government cabinet and ex-cabinet members are there, the presidents Bush 1 and 2 and Clinton and Obama, someone from the Federal Reserve, people from Wall Street. There are about 120 members of the Bilderberg Inner Circle. And about 50%, maybe 60% of them are part of an inner organization that is considered to be almost ancient. They were originally called the Venetian Black Nobility. That was about 800 years ago. But now, since 1776 or thereabouts, they've been known as the Illuminati. And apparently they have been responsible for the invasion of Iraq, the election of Obama, the control of the financial collapse, USA sovereignty at risk with the Treaty of the Sea problem that we've got right now, the salt in the soul, as they say, and also depopulation, which is one of their many things that supposedly they believe that the Earth should be depopulated by about 80%. In order to have a comfortable and happy existence. 80%.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Jam Radio Network. We'll be right back with more of Open Line.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, don't forget those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on TerraJet Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that the sound quality going out to our good listeners out there is better than the sound quality I am hearing here in the studio. Because it certainly sounds like blogtalkradio.com are having a great deal of issues pumping out this signal tonight. But we will keep going with 40 minutes left on the clock. Over the last week, the mainstream media have clobbered away at Mitt Romney's offshore accounts and stock portfolio, which is held, obviously, in a blind trust as required by law for any candidate. Now, sensing a soft underbelly, the Obama camp began broadcasting commercials with basically outright lies about Romney's outsourcing of jobs when he was with Bain Capital. Now, the bitch-slapping by Obama backfired, as does most of the underhanded tactics that the Obama camp has tried. The story sent to us from Danielle in Norfolk with the headline, Obama Shipped the Recovery Overseas. Now, this is a quote from the Huffington Post. What do Finnish cars, Mexican solar panels, and Danish windmills have in common? They were all funded by U.S. tax dollars. Thanks to President Obama, tax money, mostly in the form of stimulus funds, ended up in the hands of companies overseas instead of creating jobs in America. The stimulus and other Obama policies created jobs or sent money to Finland, New Zealand, Indonesia, India, Mexico, and yes, China. Now, how did this happen? Well, consider the example of Fisker Automotive. The company received $500 million in loan guarantees from the U.S. government to produce electric cars. Then they took their money and decided to produce their $100,000 electric sports cars in Finland. President Obama's policies may be spurring job creation in Scandinavia, but certainly not at home. 23 million Americans are struggling for work tonight. Millions of middle-class families can barely make ends meet. The billions of dollars that went overseas largely had to be borrowed. In other words, President Obama borrowed money from countries like China to send money to countries like China. It's that kind of reckless spending that led President Obama to rack up $5.6 trillion in debt over the last 3.5 years, bringing the U.S. total national debt to $15.8 trillion. In 2009, when President Obama touted his stimulus, Americans were desperate for jobs and hungry for leaders. The president and his administration promised they had the situation under control, vowing their stimulus would lower the unemployment rate to around 5.6 by today, but today the unemployment rate stands at 8.2. June was the 41st straight month with an unemployment rate in the United States of over 8%. By the president's own standard, the stimulus was an abject failure. And it's not hard to see why. Over the last 4 years, President Obama has repeated his promise to create jobs that pay well and can't be outsourced. Chalk that up to yet another broken promise. Because of the president's dismal record and his campaign's desperation to change the subject, they have lately attacked Governor Romney on false charges of outsourcing. Independent fact checkers have determined Obama's claims are blatantly false. The Obama campaign knows this, but they continue the attacks anyway. That's how desperate they are to hide their broken promises, including their record on outsourcing. Unquote. That from the Huffington Post. They're starting to lower their guns down on Barack Hussein Obama, as are many of the other media outlets when they are realizing that they're not going to be able to show Obama in a good light much longer. Now, when Obama was a no-show at the NAACP convention and sending a video and then sending his sidekick, Joe Biden, that was kind of a negative to the NAACP. But when Romney was at the NAACP convention, the media was quick to point out that Mitt Romney was booed at the NAACP convention yesterday, but they will not acknowledge that no one was there to hear Joe Biden. CBS News and National Journal campaign reporter Rodney Hawkins tweeted that minutes before Joe Biden's speech at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, seats were pretty much empty. That says a lot for Biden, doesn't it? But what have you done for me lately, Joe? Joe talks up a good speech if he can actually get people in the groove with him. But if he doesn't make the groove, if he can't get them in the groove, then his speeches can become very, very long and very, very dull. So, we have Nancy Pelosi. God bless Nancy, eh? You know, really. I mean, here is a woman that has got absolutely no talent whatsoever, including politics, including fashion. But it seems like former Nancy Pelosi has benefited from companies that outsource jobs to Asia. Yeah, apparently, a story coming out this morning, apparently to the tune of $1 million to $5 million. According to the Daily Caller, and according to Pelosi's 2011 financial disclosure statements, the Democratic House Minority Leader received between $1 million and $5 million in partnership income from Matthews International Capital Management, LLC, a group that emphasizes that it has a singular focus on investing in Asia. A quick trip to the company website reveals a featured post extolling the virtues of outsourcing. According to the same report, Pelosi is also a small investor in the embattled Mozzuz Link Global, one of the outsourcing pioneers that Mitt Romney has been criticized for associating with while at Bain Capital. Yet this is another example of Democrats saying one thing while their actions reveal another. So here comes Nancy Pelosi. She got her fingers in the cookie jar. Oh, Nancy, what are we going to do with you? Next, you're going to tell me it was Bush's. And as we creep up on the bottom of the hour, which we have to do a four-minute break for contractual obligations, when we creep up to that, we have a message from the President of the United States. Now, the President usually doesn't do singular messages. He likes to put it right across the Internet. So when we received this, we thought it's in the best interest of the world that I should share it with you.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information.
Well, that was pretty good, wasn't it? 56 seconds on the clock. No. Let's just wait. We have 56 seconds before we get there. We do remind you phone lines will be open. We're going to break here for a couple of minutes, actually 4 minutes. It's called a hard break, so that stations down the network can put their blurbs in. And then we'll be back with you at 25 to the hour. And we ask that you hang in there. Don't go away. For those staying with us in the virtual studio and also on the Internet at www.vocrradio.com, we invite you to hang in there.
Soviet emptor.
That was kind of an interesting scoop, wasn't it? I guess that was 4 minutes. Wow. Felt like forever, didn't it? Looking back on the news, I got to tell you, this Karzai character, I don't know. He's tried everything with the Taliban other than kiss their backside, and I'm sure that's on the cards. From Kabul, Afghanistan, Afghanistan's president called upon the Taliban on Thursday to relinquish their weapons, saying that the group and its leader should join the political process, just like they're doing in Syria and Libya and Egypt and all the other places that they've been unable to even understand for a millisecond what democracy is really about. Now, all the call from Hamid Karzai was the latest a peace appeal, of course, to the Taliban and to Mullah Mohammed Omar. All past requests have been ignored by the insurgency, which refuses to directly engage with the Afghan government. Mullah Mohammed Omar can come to any part of the Afghanistan he wants to. He can open political office for himself, but he should drop the gun, Karzai said at a nationally televised news conference held at the presidential palace. Now, Mullah Omar has been on the run since the U.S. invasion in late 2001, and his Taliban have been fighting the U.S.-led coalition in Afghan and the government for more than a decade. The militant group has refused peace talks with Karzai, calling him a puppet of the United States. Instead, they have held talks directly with American officials. Unfortunately, they broke off talks earlier this year, saying the U.S. Reneged on a promise to release Afghan prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. Now, so far, the talks, of course, have shown no sign of restarting. Russian nuclear-capable bombers were intercepted near the West Coast. Now, this is the second U.S. air defense zone intrusion in 2 weeks. Yep. Two Russian strategic nuclear bombers entered the U.S. air defense zone near the Pacific coast on Wednesday and were met by U.S. interceptor jets, according to the defense officials, they told Free Beacon. So the story came from Free Beacon and has been validated. It's the second time Moscow has dispatched nuclear-capable bombers into the 200-mile zone surrounding U.S. territory in the past 2 weeks. An earlier intrusion by two Tu-95 Bear H bombers took place near Alaska as part of an Arctic war games that a Russian military spokesman said included simulated attacks on enemy air defenses and strategic facilities. Kind of a strange war game to play if you are not looking at having to use that tactic. But there again, the Americans play the same game, I guess, don't they? So it's all the same game in the long run, isn't it? One thing that bothers me is Iran. I wonder if they're preparing for the end times. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, is boldly reminding his followers of the Shiite history, the return of the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, as he tells his people to prepare for war in the end times. Now, this is pretty distressing to Western leaders. The Iranian leader stated, "We must prepare for end times," according to Iran's supreme leader. For the first time, is telling his nation that it must prepare for war and the end of times as it continues to develop nuclear weapons. State-owned media outlets, in a coordinated effort, all ran a similar story, highlighting Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's message on the coming of the last Islamic Messiah. Now, until now, the Iranian media would mostly quote clerics from seminaries on the issue, or the last Islamic Messiah, to avoid the regime being labeled Messianic. However, the wide publication of Khamenei's statements on a need to prepare for the end of times as it confronts the West over its illicit nuclear program is alarming to the Western leaders. The issue of Imam Mahdi is of most importance in his reappearance and has been clearly stated in the holy religion of Islam, according to Khamenei. He stated, "We must study and remind ourselves of the end times and the Imam Mahdi's era. We must prepare for the environment for the coming so that the great leader will come." Now, Shiite theology holds that great wars must engulf the earth, during which one-third of the world's population will die in the fighting, and another third from hunger, lawlessness, and havoc. Israel is to be destroyed, and only then will the 12th Imam Mahdi reappear and kill all of the infidels, raising the flag of Islam in all corners of the world. Now, under the guidance of Khamenei, several centers have been established in Iran on research and information on the coming of the Mahdi. And a conference, believe it or not, is held annually on Mahdiism. Seriously. I mean, really, would I lie to you? Would I lie to you? That's the question you have to ask yourself tonight, and that's the question you have to get back.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. The voice continues after this.
My father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
The Holy Quran.
He certainly didn't talk about his Muslim faith. In fact, it was one of those issues in the last election that I was absolutely shocked was not being brought out into the public by mainstream media. And the reason I was shocked is because had you been in the audio chat rooms in Yahoo or Paltalk about that time, you would most certainly have listened to the racial slurs and anger that the American people were exhibiting. And yet, in the politics of doing politics, it wasn't even brought up. wasn't even mentioned, even though apparently Hillary Clinton had one heck of a file on Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Cerreto. And July the 17th, when Sheriff Joe has his news conference, apparently there's a whole bunch more coming down the pike. So we could get a little bumpy into the November election, or it could be a landslide for Romney. Now imagine, if you will, Obama steps down and puts in his place, oh my God, no, not Joe. Joe Biden as President of the United States of America? Or would he choose to allow Hillary Clinton to step? We go for that. Hillary Clinton, I think, would do a heck of a good job. But hey, guys, let's just move on with some more news, because I got to get this stuff out, because if I don't, it drives me nuts. A Phoenix, Arizona man is in jail tonight for hosting a Bible study group in his home. I kid you not. Pastor Michael Salmon, serving 60 days on Monday, after city officials said his weekly meetings were akin to a church service, which violated several building codes. Now, according to the city, Bible studies are not allowed to be conducted in your residence or the barn on your property, as these structures do not comply with the construction code for their use, a letter from the city has stated. Salmon has posted videos on YouTube to discuss his troubles with the law. In one, he says he was also fined $12,000 and put on 3 years probation for hosting the Bible studies. Salmon also says he was given warnings about the Bible studies on his property in 2007. Suzanne Salmon posted a video on Monday of her husband arriving at jail, calling it an emotional day. The video shows Salmon in his home saying goodbye to his children, who are crying, in a large room with a number of chairs set up facing one end, and religious imagery are on the walls. A note under the video says, "You can see the pain this injustice sentence has inflicted on this family. People should have the right to gather on their private property, especially if they do not harm others." The video ends with Salmon wearing a shirt that reads, "I'm a criminal," as he arrives at the police station. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? That we would put a person in jail for holding a Bible study, even if he was breaking city ordinance? To charge him $12,000 and then throw him in jail for 60 days is, I think, a little bit excessive. We are on the air for another 14 minutes at 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. If you get the urge, pick up the phone. And those people that are listening to the show after the fact, we do invite you to continue your downloads. We are appreciative that you're out there. Even though you can't make it live, we know you exist. And, hey, throw an email once in a while. We'll like to know you're out there. VOCR2012@gmail.com. VOCR2012@gmail.com. So, with, I don't know what we got left, 13 minutes to go. Let's have a look. Let's see here. Hugo Chavez, oh, one of my favorite people. Hugo Chavez, apparently he might be shipping fuel to the murderous Syrian regime. He also might be helping the genocide Iranian regime build a missile in Venezuela that can target the United States directly. He might have supported Muammar Gaddafi, just as he supported terrorism in Colombia and incited hatred in Israel. He might have tried to undermine constitutional democracy in Honduras and across the continent. He might hate America and launch into anti-American diatribes at every opportunity. But according to President Barack Obama, Venezuelan strongman Hugo Chavez is not a serious national security threat. President Obama, speaking to Miami journalist Oscar Heza, said that Mr. Chavez has done over the last several years, has not had a serious national security impact on us. The president said that his main concern in Venezuela was the quality of its democracy, and yet one of his first foreign policy acts as president was to greet Chavez warmly at the Summit of the Americas in April 2009, showing such support for a would-be dictator sent exactly the opposite signal about Venezuelan democracy. If Chavez is not a serious national security threat, President Obama is not serious about national security. Now, talking about national security, here's a scoop for everybody. Get ready. Write this one down. Within the next 2 years, a spooky, powerful, and invisible new technology will be deployed by the U.S. government and others that can instantly scan and identify every molecule on your body or person. The cocaine residue on your dollar bills, the prescription drugs, marijuana in your pocket, and even trace powder residue from your practice session at the gun range. And it can detect all this invisibly, silently, from a range of 50 meters away. New Homeland Security laser scanner reads people at a molecular level, declares a CBS News headline. The scanner is called the Picosecond Programmable Laser. And the device works by blasting its target with lasers which vibrate molecules that are then read by the machine that determine what substance a person has been exposed to. This could be Semtex explosives to the bacon and egg sandwich they had for breakfast in the morning. Now, the government apparently is going to log every chemical on your body, and these laser detection devices are slated to be widely deployed across airports, roadside checkpoints, sports stadiums, and anywhere else the government wants to surveil the public. Data collected by these devices can even be tagged to your identity so that the government compiles a database of which chemicals were detected on you at each location for each day of your life. This information, of course, can then be used by the government to target people they call terrorists. Anyone who believes in liberty, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, or limited government. Once nationwide gun confiscation orders are handed down from Washington, these scanning devices can be used to detect trace levels of gunpowder on people merely strolling through a public place. And if you're carrying ammunition or have recently practiced with firearms, you'll be flagged, you'll be tagged, and you'll be dragged into a very secret military prison, expanded by President Obama and the National Defense Authority Act, which nullifies due process and the Bill of Rights. Into pot instead of guns, your days of carrying some Mary Jane are over, sunshine, as the government can detect traces of THC on your clothing, in your hair, hands, facial skin from 50 meters away. It's not limited to marijuana either. This device can detect and catalog your use of any recreational drugs, including cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, or anything. Not into abusing drugs? Never worry. The government can instantly know what prescription drugs you're using too. The laser scanning device can catalog what prescription medications you're on and tag your profile with the data. It may even be used against you in court someday, if you're even allowed your day in court anymore. If you don't believe me on that, go to naturalnews.com, and the story is up there. Shocking. Orwellian 1984 theories and practices. But apparently it's really out there. Apparently those things really do exist. Now that's pretty freaky, man. That's pretty darn freaky. Well, Obama's desperation is starting to show. The Obama deputy campaign manager, Stephanie Cutter, suggested that Mitt Romney may be a criminal on a conference call with reporters this morning about a Boston Globe report that shows that Romney stayed at Bain Capital 3 years past when he had actually said he left. Now, Cutter said that there were two ways to interpret the story. The first, Mitt Romney was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is a felony, or he was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the American people. And if that is the case, if he was lying to the American people, that's a real character and trust issue, Cutter said. Now, come on. This is like calling the kettle black, don't you think? Barack Obama, who cannot produce a birth certificate, Barack Obama that has admitted that the birth certificate that was produced is a forgery. Barack Obama, who has spent millions of dollars making sure his records are sealed, is now calling Mitt Romney out on being legal or illegal. Now, Cutter called on the Romney campaign to clear up the issue by releasing the candidate's tax returns. Now, for some reason, the Obama administration believes that the tax returns are going to sink Romney. And Obama's pretty well given up on trying to sink him with the actual abilities of the presidency. But he's most probably not given up trying to sink him as a human being. The Obama team charges against Romney extended all the way to his handling of Salt Lake City Olympics, which Cutter described as less than wholesome. Now, earlier today, Romney's spokeswoman, Andrea Saul, said in a statement that the Boston Globe story was not accurate. She did not specifically respond to the request for comment regarding the felony statement by Cutter. And on an update, an Obama campaign spokesman sends over the statement from Bob Bauer. Romney and Bain claim that he was not involved with Bain. But Bain and its portfolio companies, in their required filings under the Securities Exchange Act, continuously certified to the Securities and Exchange Commission, says precisely the opposite, asserting without qualification that he was a controlling person fully in charge of Bain under the federal securities law. Under normal circumstances, the question of the truth of his representation would result in an investigation by the SEC into possible criminal as well as civil violations of the law. So it's clear Obama and his thugs will use anything against Romney. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to the news conference on July the 17th from the sheriff, good old Sheriff Joe and his posse. They're about to lower the boom down on the Obama fraud, and Obama's trying to get out in front of it. He knows it's coming. He knows how bad it's going to be, I'm sure. If he's party to the action, he knows what he's done or what he hasn't done. He knows whether he's clean or he's not. And July the 17th, it'll be interesting to see what Sheriff Joe and the posse actually have. Because from the interviews that I've seen leading up to this, and yeah, there's been a lot of promo leading up to it. It's almost like a Herculean event. But from the promos and the videos that I've seen so far of what's coming up, Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Serrato, may create a constitutional crisis like the United States of America has never experienced before. And if that in fact happens, then I would genuinely recommend that you hold on to your pants and dig a very deep hole and go there for a while. Because if you don't, there's a darn good possibility that you may get caught up in this mess.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries sweep your view, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls, in the dead of night, when all is still. And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a Terror Chat Network production. www.terrorchatnet.com.